It is wonderful to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our Friends and Family Day here at Azalea City Church of Christ. We do want to say thank you to those who made the decision to say yes to those invitations and come and be a part of our services here today. You are indeed a blessing. You have helped us already have a remarkable day around here. To our members who've worked so hard in being able to prepare food and invite and bring and encourage. And listen, I know there were a lot of invites that were there that didn't make it today. But let me just say, what a wonderful day this has been so far. What a wonderful Lord's Day this has been. And because of your efforts, we did it. We did it. 4:06 here this morning, so... Great job. Great job. And I'm proud of you for that, but I want you to know nobody here is just a number. You are a soul that matters to our Heavenly Father. Now, that means I told you I was going to do a strength contest. I'm not going to do it here today, but I'll get that filmed, and I'll get that done. Somebody said, well, Terry, you could do it for 42 straight days. You didn't clarify it. I will do it all at one time, and listen, you know, I'm sure I'll be nitpicked on it and everything else. But the bottom line is, I'm going to attempt that, and we'll see how that goes. But I'm proud of you. Anything, I'll do anything just about to encourage you, and because you encourage me each and every day. I want you to know that what we're talking about around here is being strong. Being strong for our Lord. And today we are concluding a whole series of lessons on renewed strength. That is our theme this year, as you can tell behind me, being renewed. We're talking about renewing our strength in God. Today we're concluding with being Jesus strong, being strong in Jesus Christ. Steve has done a phenomenal job leading our singing. He came and he led us in a song just a moment ago, Victory in Jesus. That's what it is all about, right? It's about being victorious in Jesus Christ. Today, I want you to know, more importantly than that, God, who is in our presence today, wants you to know that you and I can leave here victorious in Jesus Christ. You see, being strong is something that He knew we needed. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6 there, it says, for when we were still, here it is, without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. I want you to think about that word, or that phrase, without strength. It comes from the Greek word, asthenes. Asthenes. Here's what it literally means, and fill in the blank in your mind here. Jesus, or Paul said there, Jesus came when we were still asthenes, okay? Without strength. That means when we were weak. Anybody here come today weak? Perhaps you're weak spiritually. Perhaps you're weak physically. Perhaps you're weak emotionally. Perhaps you're weak mentally. Anybody infirmed? That's what it also means. When we were still infirm, when we were still feeble, when we were still unable to do anything great, when we were still destitute of power among mankind, when we were still inferior, when we were still sluggish in doing right, when we were still lacking in manliness, when we were still sinners, Christ came. Why did He come? He came so that we can be strong, so that we can be saved, so that we do not have to leave here today doubting our salvation, doubting who is Lord of our lives. He came so that we can have a relationship with Him. Christ died for us despite all these things to give us the strength that we need to carry on. Life is tough. It is. In fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome this world. You see, life is tough. There are a lot of people here who I maybe have met before. Maybe I have never met you before at all. And there may be a lot of us here that way. But chances are, in the crowd this size, there are some people here that came today who are going through trials. You're going through struggles. You're going through tribulation. Well, I want you to know this, that Christ came so that you can overcome those struggles. He came so that you can hold your head high. And it doesn't matter how many pasts are in your past, how many skeletons are in your closet. He came to cover a multitude of sins. That means He came and covered them all. And so today I want to invite you to join me in this Bible study as we learn together what it takes to be strong in Jesus Christ. Our identity needs to be in Him. Being in Christ, that phrase, that prepositional phrase, in Christ, in Him, is one of the Apostle Paul's favorite phrases describing a Christian believer. In fact, in the New Testament, in Christ, or those type phrases, in Him, in Jesus Christ, those type phrases are used over 170 times. Do you think He wanted us to understand that? Do you think He wanted us to understand the criticalness of being in Jesus, in Christ? So what does it really say about being in Christ? What does it really remind us of? Maybe you don't understand. Well, maybe you don't fully haven't fully thought about that phrase in a while. Maybe as Christians, we've been Christians a long time and we are in Him, but we haven't really thought about the impact of that. Well, let's just think about some everyday life stuff right now. First of all, when we say we're in something, it describes the state that we're in. For instance, it can describe our welfare. We may be in love today, right? Hopefully we are. Those of us who are married, we're still in love, right? We may be in pain today. That may be the welfare you're in. We may be in good health. We may be in dire straits. It could describe our welfare. The phrase in also can be about our geographical location. We are in the Azalea City Church of Christ Church building. We are in Sims, Alabama. We live in Mobile. We live in fill in the blank. It can also relate that we belong, who we belong to or positioned with an institution, organization, something like that. For instance, we may be in Sims Middle School. We may be in Mary G. Montgomery. We may be in Mobile Christian, in Sarah Lamp. We may be in certain organization, in this church, in a hospital, in prison, hopefully not. We may be in, it can tell us what occupation we are in. For instance, we may be in the army. We may be in the ministry. So when I think about all these things, all these ends, you know what it does? Every end tells us a little bit about you. You know, if we were to go and we were to just take a poll of everything, all of you would be in something. You'd be in a welfare state. You'd be in a occupation. You'd be in some type of location. We'd all learn a little bit about each and every one of us just with the word in. Well, let me tell you, the best thing we can learn about any of us today is that we are in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the key to it all. It tells us who we belong to. It tells us all we need to know about one another. Our identity is not our location. Our identity is not our welfare state. Our identity is not our occupation. Our identity needs to be Jesus Christ. That needs to be who we identify with. In fact, in Galatians 4, verse 19, we have these words, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives." Isn't that what it's about? Paul, who loved the church of Galatia, he was saying, "Hey, I feel like I'm going through these burdens and these pains again as I see you grow because I hurt for you and I struggle for you, but I can't wait till you are fully identified in Jesus Christ." So let's talk for a moment about what it means to be in Christ. Here are a few things I want you to take note of. Number one, in Christ Jesus, you and I were given grace before the world was created. Think about that. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. That means you are getting something, you are possessing something, God's giving you something that you didn't do any merits to deserve. That means He's given us His amazing grace before the world was created. 2 Timothy 2:9, He gave us grace in Christ Jesus before the ages began. He knew we needed it, didn't He? He knew exactly what we needed. You know, when you go home and you pray, You pray at night, you pray in the day, you pray without ceasing. Let me say that sometimes we may think, hey, God's not listening, but I want you to know He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what you need and I need, and one of those big things was grace. And so in Christ Jesus, we find that grace. Number two, in Christ Jesus, you were chosen by God before creation. Who doesn't like to be picked, right? I mean, I know we could all sit here and we'd have that one person say, oh, it doesn't matter to me if I'm first or I'm last or whatever. But when it comes down to it, we all like to be chosen. Nobody wants to be left out, if you will. Well, let me tell you, God, the greatest chooser of all time, chose every one of you. He did. He chose you. Listen to this, Ephesians 1:4. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That means He chose you to follow Him. Now, we could choose not to follow Him. He's given us that choice as well. But He chose us. He picked you and He picked me. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. And man, I find a lot of strength in that, and I hope that you do too. Thirdly, this morning, when we talk about in Christ, what it means in Christ, you are loved by God with an inseparable love. Wow. As if we are in Christ Jesus today, that means God loves us with a love that knows no separation. Romans 8:38 and 39. I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a great section of Scripture? Isn't that a great promise? You know, Jesus said, whatever is in God's hand, whatever He holds on to, nothing can pluck Him out or take Him out. So think about this today. If I get in Christ Jesus, if I'm in Christ Jesus and I'm holding on to Christ Jesus, as long as I hold on to Christ Jesus, guess what? Nothing else can take me away from God. Now, I can choose to let go. And some do, unfortunately, don't they? Some do let go. But as long as my strength is in Christ, my strength is in my grip, as long as I hold on to Him, there is nothing that can separate the love He has for me. As we continue in this, I want you to think about this. In Christ Jesus, you are justified before God, and the righteousness of God in Christ is imputed to you. Think about this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Think about that. Justin, my friend Justin, who is our great youth minister here at Azalea City, he says a lot of times, and I've kind of adopted or stolen, I don't know, his phrase. He said, God, thank You for loving us when we are even unlovable. Isn't that something strong to think about? He loves us when we were weak, when we were without strength, when we were infallible, when we were sinners, when we were unlovable. God still loves us. And because Jesus Christ loves us so much, He became sin. He knew no sin, but He became sin so that we could be righteous. Man, what a powerful thought process. In Christ Jesus, you were redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. Boy, isn't that something great to think about? In Christ, again, there's that strength in Christ, right? In Christ, you were redeemed and forgiven for all your sins. Ephesians 1:7, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So today, there are a lot of sinners in this room, right? We're all sinners, fallen short of the glory of God. And I want you to think that just because we may come up here and we may pray or we may sing or we may preach a sermon or reside over the Lord's table or read a scripture or whatever, I don't want you to think that any of us are any better than anybody else here. We're all human beings. We're all imperfect people trying to get to a perfect place. But here's the beautiful thing about it. Even though we are still sinners, Christ, as long as we are in Him, washed away every sin we've ever committed. Boy, isn't that a great thought today. You see, if I wrong you, you may forgive me, but you won't forget it. I mean, it's just, I hear people say, I need to forgive and forget. I don't think it's possible. Okay? I don't think it's possible. We can forgive. I think that is possible through God, and I think we should. But we can't forget it. But God does. That's a majestic power of God that I can't fathom because of my mind. My mind's not made to do that. But here's the thing. When you are in Christ Jesus and His blood covers your sins, guess what? He doesn't even remember them anymore. Now the devil will remind us that you remember them. You remember when you did this and you remember when you did that. But God beat the devil. Okay? He beat him and His blood covers our sins. One more this morning about what it means to be in Christ. Think about this. In Christ Jesus, you have become a new creation and a son of God. Folks, it doesn't get any higher than that. I don't know what your life goal is. Some may want to be valedictorian of their class. Some may want to be an all-American in a sport. Some may want to be CEO or the top official at your position. But at the end of the day, it doesn't get any higher than being a son of God, a child of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Galatians 3:26, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Boy, that's a beautiful thought. And man, I just listed several things right there that remind us of the strength that we can gain from being in Christ. You know, I ought to be able to say, hey, that's the end of this sermon. Let's stand and sing and everybody leave here and we all, but you know what? Chances are that won't happen. Why? It sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds great. I can preach and man, you're amening and I appreciate that because you agree and hopefully it's a powerful point through God's Word. But here's the bottom line. Not everybody is living in Christ. And there's got to be a reason. And I'm going to suggest to you, I think I know what the reason is today. I think it's because we're carrying our baggage on our own. This suitcase here has been to Ukraine several times. It's made it. It's a good suitcase. It's lightweight. But you know, could you imagine, ladies, some of y'all have purses this big, but could you imagine carrying this thing around all day long? You know, I mean, it doesn't have a whole lot in it, but you think that would be cumbersome? I need to get on the inside of that aisle with my suitcase over there. Oh, excuse me, you know, I mean, this thing, even if you could carry it on your back, you know, You try to carry it, but I mean, what a burden. Even with nothing in it, what a burden, right? But so many people brought their bags today. You're carrying your bags with you. And you know what? Your bags have things in them. So what's holding us back? What's holding us back? What kind of baggage are we carrying today that we can't find the strength in Jesus Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked, Terry. One of the first things I think that holds us back is worry. Worry. You see, we get worried in life. We get worried about things that happen to us, right? We worry about what's going to go wrong next. What's going to take shape in our lives. You know, I'd love to follow Jesus Christ, Terry, but guess what? I just can't. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my future. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about this. And this burden is so heavy and I'm carrying it around all the time. Well, I want you to know something. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Okay? Worry. Here's what Jesus said about it. Not Terry Cagle, not anybody from Azalea City, not any preacher or evangelist you'll ever hear. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 34, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, can we do this? Can we throw worry at the feet of Jesus today? Can we do that? If you're worried about something, give it to Him today. All right, but what else? Hey, there are other things in life that hold us back, right? How about this one? How about this one? I didn't think all this through. Sometimes I just react. How about failure? Oh man, it sounds great. It sounds great that I'm following Jesus Christ. Yeah, man, Terry, what you said, all those things you put on the board, all that sounds great, man. All that sounds great, but you know what? I can't succeed at anything. I'm just an absolute failure. Listen, only Satan wants you to believe that. Okay? Only the devil wants you to believe that. There are times in life when I fail Jesus Christ, and so do you. But here's the beautiful, as long as there's breath in my body, and I get myself up off the ground, or somebody helps me up, I am not a failure in Jesus Christ. Peter is a perfect example. He said, Jesus Christ, I will not ever forsake you in John 18. In John 18, you know what he did? He went out and denied him three times. Jesus said, you will deny me. You'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. Well, then in John 21, Jesus goes and visits him. In John 21, he tells him, Peter, I want to have breakfast with you. Peter swims to him. He says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He says, you know I love you, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. In Acts chapter 2, he took the figurative keys to the kingdom. He opened the doors to the church, and 3,000 walked in that day. Peter, by all measures, was a failure. But at the end of the day, he opened the doors to the kingdom. Today, you may walk in feeling like a failure, but you can walk out being victorious in Jesus Christ. There may be something else holding you back today. This is probably one that's going to get some folks if the others haven't. How about this one right here? Huh? Injustice. That's angry emoji, right? I am mad because somebody wronged me. I am mad because somebody hurt my feelings. I am mad. I'm never going to church because they are full of hypocrites. Got them. They're full of hypocrites. You know what? People tell me that a lot. You know what I tell them? I'm like, yes, the church is full of hypocrites. Yes, the church is full of people who have wronged people. Yes, the church is full of gossipers. Yes, it's full of drunkards. Yes, it's full. You know why? Because we're sinners. But I want you to know today that this is a terrible reason to stay back from Jesus Christ. I tell people from time to time, this is my 20th year here at Azalea City as a minister. If I'd have left the first time somebody hurt my feelings, I'd have left a long time ago. That's just reality. Okay? Hey, I've had people before who say, hey, we're gonna get rid of Terry. We're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. Hey, that's happened. But you know what? At the end of the day, all those people had something way bigger than me, and I was just the target, you know? And I'm guessing today that there have been people who've hurt you that really you're just the target. You're not the real reason. Let me ask you this. Why would we let injustice keep us from being strong in Jesus Christ? Today, let it go. Let it go. Jesus Christ would face more injustice than anybody. And He said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all as possible. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How about this one? This is a big one too, folks. The more I study counseling and the more I go into my counseling and the more I counsel with people, I've determined that this one holds a lot of people back. I hope you can see all these. I'll do it on the screen. I didn't do it on. Man, I can't do two things at once. But it's guilt, okay? It's guilt. Guilt is a big deal. Some of you today may have walked in here feeling very guilty. You may have walked in feeling guilty because of past sins, past mistakes. Maybe you didn't get to tell someone you love them enough. Maybe you were full of injustice and someone left. And man, there's just a lot of guilt. And you're carrying that suitcase around, you know, and it burdens you down. And you can't see the good things in life because you've got all this baggage. Well, I want you to know that guilt was lifted at Calvary too. In John chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But don't just stop there, because verse 17 is just as important. "For God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So today, there is nothing in your life that can't be forgiven. Don't walk out of here with guilt. Walk out of here with strength. But there's one more piece of baggage that I'm going to talk about this morning. And this one, this is number one, okay? The old Family Feud, I guess the Family Feud still comes on, doesn't it? But the Family Feud survey says, what is the number one thing, that the baggage that people carry that keeps them back? Well, here it is. It is a three-letter word, but boy, it is ever so powerful. It is sin. Sin is number one, folks. That's what's holding us back. You see, God can't be in the presence of sin. He can't. There are times in Scripture where God was leading the Israelites around in a form. At night it'd be fire, in the daytime it'd be a cloud. And so He's leading them as a cloud in the daytime, right? And people would become sinners, or they would become full of sin, and He'd have to strike them, and He'd have to depart. Because He cannot be in the presence of sin. And He knew that. So that's when Adam sinned, his plan went into motion. And you know what His plan was? "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That was His plan. Along the way, He needed to make Israel a great nation. And in Noah's day, He was sick and tired of creation. He was sick and tired of mankind. He was going to wipe them all out. But Noah found favor. And so you know what He did? He said, "Noah, build a boat, build it exactly this way, and get your family on that ark. Get as many as you can." Noah got his family on the ark. Can you imagine the people that wanted on that ark when God shut the door? Noah couldn't open it back up. God shut the door. And if God shuts the door, we can't open it. Okay? So here's what happened in Genesis 3. Man sins. A little bit later in Genesis 6 and such, Noah comes around. Man is so evil that God floods the world. He baptized the world. He washed it away. He washed the sin out. And everyone perished except those on the ark. Well, many years later, here's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him." Here's what He said. He said, Noah built an ark. Sin was washed away through the water. But everybody that was on that ark was saved and spared. He said, baptism does the same thing today. It will wash away your sins, but it puts you in the ark. The ark is Jesus Christ. The ark is the church of our Lord. And when I am in Christ, He takes the baggage off of me. When I am in Christ, worry is gone. When I am in Christ, I am not a failure, right? When I am in Christ, I will not be full of wrath and injustice. And if I am in Christ, the guilt will be gone. If I am in Christ, so is sin. You see, God is amazing. He is awesome. He's so good at what He does. Whatever you're carrying today, He'll take it off of you. You know, He also designed your body. He designed me. And as we close, I want you to think about laminin. Laminin is a protein that your body produces. And it's pretty remarkable as you think about it. It gives you strength. That's what protein does. You know, if I want to be strong, I take in more protein. If I want to gain mass, I take in protein. Why? Because it's good. It keeps my cells and everything else growing strong. Well, laminin is something that assists in cell adhesion. And it binds other extracellular matrix components together. The way I like to think about it is laminin is what is inside our cells, the protein that's inside our cells. It's a glue that keeps our cells together. Got that? But do you know under a microscope what it looks like? That's exactly what it looks like. Laminin. A strong protein that keeps everything together. Just so happens it's shaped just like the cross. Today as we close, I want to ask you, what are you carrying? Are they still hanging up in your life? Are they wadded up, thrown away, taken out, never to be thought of again? Today is the cross. The adhesion, the cohesiveness that's keeping your life together. If it's not, let me ask you this, why not get on the ark? Why not be immersed, have your sins washed away, be added to the kingdom, and leave here knowing you're strong in Jesus Christ? I'm so thankful you're here today. At this time, we're going to sing a song. If anybody has a need, and you need to respond, we encourage you to do it right now together. We stand and sing.